This morning, I actually started a brand new series you can see on the screen, From Bondage to Breakthrough. From Bondage to Breakthrough. And this morning, we're going to be talking about those bound physically. Bound physically. So Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to say, I did this in early service, I'll do it again here. We're going to begin verse 25 instead of verse 22. Verse 25, Mark writes in his gospel, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood," your translation might say an issue of blood, "for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better. Rather, listen to what happened, she grew worse." Isn't that depressing? You spend everything you have trying to get better and you only get worse. Goes on. When she heard, here's the answer right here. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith," notice that, "daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Listen now, as I said, this series, and again, it may be 5 or 6 weeks that we'll be talking about this, and so in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to look at various ways people are bound and how Jesus can free us. And let me just say this. Have you ever struggled with some type of bondage? Have you ever been held captive, if you will, or bound by some type of bondage? And we have to be careful because most of the time when we say bondage, we narrowly define bondage. Whenever we talk about bondage, a lot of people think and assume that we're only talking about like some sort of addiction, like a drug addiction or alcohol addiction or pornography or something like that, that type of addiction. And so I want to caution you and say that when I'm talking about bondage this morning and for the next several weeks, it's not narrowly defined like that. What I want to tell you this morning is we need to understand bondage, again, not narrowly defined, because it covers a variety of issues. There are many things that we can be bound with and maybe not even have the knowledge that we're in bondage. To me, being in bondage is being restricted. It means I'm restricted. I'm held back. It means I'm not free to do what I want to do. Does that sound good? So that's the definition that we're operating with when I talk about bondage. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to look at ways that people are restricted in their life, restricted in their spiritual life, restricted in whatever capacity that you can even imagine. You know, I want to set the tone this morning and begin by reading what Jesus said he came to do. Remember, when Jesus came, Paul said that he was the indescribable gift that came. But what did he come for? What was his purpose? Now, we look back on it, we understand redemption and salvation, but here's what Jesus said himself. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he goes to church, and it's his day to read. And they hand him the scroll of Isaiah 61, and here's what he does. He unscrolls that, Isaiah 61, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." And then he goes into this litany of things that he came to do. "He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal," what? "The brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Those who are oppressed. So what am I talking about? Right there, Jesus declares what he came to do. He came to liberate the captives, and he came to set the oppressed free. Do we understand that? Jesus came to liberate captives and to set people free. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying he wants you free. He wants you free from whatever binds you, whatever restricts you. And listen, I have good news for you this morning. If you're living in bondage, Jesus came to set you free. If you're struggling with something that is restrictive, something that is beyond you, Jesus came to set you free. He doesn't want you to live in bondage. He doesn't want you bound. He doesn't want you restricted. He wants you to be free in Jesus' name. And so during these services, we're going to cover a variety of issues where I see bondage today, where people are held back. And then here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray to Jesus. And we're going to believe for the breakthrough. How many want to be free? How many want to live free? Listen, that's not pie in the sky. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I'm come that you might have life. Not just mediocre, skate by kind of life. He said, I came to give you life in all of its fullness. All of its fullness. This morning, again, I'm kicking off this series by talking about those who are bound physically. And let me just say this right off the front. I've been called a lot of things in my time in ministry. And I call me naive if you want to, but I still believe in divine healing. I know I pushed my wife around in a wheelchair, have for the last 10 years, but I still believe in healing. I still believe that is within the possibility for him to raise her up. I still believe that. So, you know what? I'm going to keep praying until God comes in rapture, or she goes, or I go the way of the grave. Because I still believe in divine healing. You're looking at a guy that believes in that. So in our text this morning, we find a lady who had an issue of blood. Now, I want you to understand that. The Bible describes it as an issue of blood, and it simply means she was hemorrhaging. Okay? She was hemorrhaging, which how many understand? That's not good. And to make matters worse, not only was she hemorrhaging, the Bible says that it was a constant flow. What does that mean? It means it was something that she dealt with for 12 years. It was a constant flow. It was happening all the time. So think about that physically. What does that do to a body? Well, you can imagine this lady dealing with this hemorrhaging for 12 years. I promise you, she was not the picture or the epitome of health and fitness, women's fitness. Quite the opposite. I think she was weak, and I think she was anemic. I think she was frail and withered up from suffering for these 12 years. The Bible says, again, it was a constant flow. So physically, she would have been extremely weak and very anemic. She was bound physically. She had limitations. But she also had some mental issues going on. And let me just qualify that. She had some mental things to deal with because she had gone to doctors. She had gone to every doctor she could imagine, every commercial that came on television back then. You know, obviously I'm being facetious, but she, you know, every commercial that came out said we have a new doctor with new methodologies, and so she would go and spend her money to get well, and she didn't get better. Every radio commercial advertisement that came on, she would buy whatever product they were pushing, trying to get well. How many can relate to that? Today we go to Dr. Google, and we try to figure out how to solve our malady or our situation. She spent her money, and the Bible says she didn't get better. In fact, what happened is she got worse. So you can almost picture this. Don't you use your imagination, but you can almost picture this frail, weak lady struggling with just the normal parts of life. Isn't that depressing? Isn't that depressing to think that you can't enjoy the abundant life that Jesus came to give, that you can't enjoy life, just the normal parts of life? She couldn't do it. She also suffered not physically, not just mentally, but she suffered emotionally because the Bible says, again, for 12 years, she only grew worse. Again, how's that for being depressed? I mean, you're trying to get better, and you're only getting worse. Imagine the anguish that this lady was going through. I mean, you do all that you can to get healthy and to get well, and you only end up worse off than you were at the beginning. You go to all kinds of doctors and all kinds of support groups, And again, you got to understand that this lady was living under the Old Testament system, the Levitical system. So what does that mean? Well, it means that under the Levitical law, she was technically unclean. She was unclean. So what does that mean? Well, think about it. She couldn't be married. She could not work around other people. She could not have close relationships. She couldn't have friendships. She was not able to touch anyone or be touched by anyone. Now think about that. There's something powerful about the human touch. I'm a hugger, okay? If you're a guest here and I come up and hug you, I don't mean anything. I'm a hugger. And I say, I love you. That's just me. Imagine not being able to do that. You know, when the pandemic happened and hit last year and they shut everything down and we went to, at that point, went to online only, I'll be honest with you, I battled with some depression. Because I'm used to being up here looking at smiling faces. I'm used to having interaction with people. You know, I'm used to looking around and seeing people nod off and sleep. I'm hearing the best sleep you get's in the church. I see this and I enjoy this. I enjoy the reaction of looking up in the balcony and trying to figure out who that is because my eyes aren't good as they used to be. And I couldn't do that. And I was depressed. And I know we got some great characters in the church. We had folks that came in and taped their pictures on the backs of chairs so that when I'd preach, I'd see them and they would be sitting where they typically would sit. And that was helpful, but it wasn't the same because there was no human touch. I remember the first Sunday that we came back live, the very first Sunday morning that we had in-person meetings, and I cried. I cried. I know I may look tough on the outside, but I'm a pushover. Because there's something about, imagine this lady, she can't have that. For 12 years, she didn't know what it was like to have the human touch. She didn't know what it was like to have that companionship and the relationship. How many of you really have a good circle of friends that you rely on when things get tough? How many are developing friendships that, listen, and be careful. I don't want to go there, but I am anyway. Listen, develop good quality, deep friendships. Amen. You know, I used to think drama was over at high school. Enjoy Jesus had thousands of people wanting to be around him. Out of the thousands, he drew in 12 to be in a closer relationship, and of the 12, he picked 3 to be intimate. What I'm saying, not everybody's meant to be your BFF. And don't get mad if they have another BFF. It's not you. Anyway, that's another drama I didn't want to get into. Anyway, but she didn't have that. She didn't have that relationship. She couldn't be married. She couldn't work with others. She couldn't be around them. She walked around like a leper. Unclean, unclean, I'm unclean. And if you saw her coming, you had to cross the street and walk on the other side. It's like going to Walmart and seeing somebody you got an issue with. You don't walk down the same aisle, you go somewhere else. Come on, I'm telling the truth. I've seen you, and you didn't think I was watching. You saw me coming, like, oh, it's the preacher. I got to go somewhere else. This is her reality. This is her reality. She's dejected, she's rejected, she's broke, she's busted, and she's disgusted. She's lonely, she's afraid, and she has nowhere else to go. But this is where Jesus comes in. Aren't you glad there's always a but God? I love, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. You see, that's her lot in life. That's what's going on right now. And maybe this is your lot. If you're watching online this morning, where are you? There you are. If you're watching online this morning, maybe this is where you are. Maybe you relate to this lady this morning. Maybe you have some physical malady that prevents you from close fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you're sidelined from a ministry that you truly want to be involved in because you're not physically able to do it. You're bound physically this morning. Here's the good news. There's a healer in the house today. Did you hear what I said? He never stops working. There's a healer in the house today. See, this lady heard about Jesus. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful to have that part? To just talk about Jesus? See, we're so quick to talk about Alabama football, Roll Tide, and we're so quick to talk about the Rangers and all these other things. I had to do that for my Mississippi friends back there. When's the last time we just talked about Jesus? Somebody was talking about Jesus, and this lady hears Jesus. And hears that there's a man who's doing things that nobody else had done. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. The blind eyes are open. The deaf ears are unstopped. The dumb are talking. The lame are walking. And there's something that happens inside of her. Listen, if you got a story, share it. If you have a testimony, share it. Because you have no idea that there's somebody out there struggling with an issue or struggling with a challenge, and just by you saying, hey, this is who I used to be, this is what I did, this is how God came through for me, and here I am today. It is so inspiring to hear your story. Somebody was talking about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. And so here's what she does. She thinks, you know what? I need to get to Jesus. In her desperate attempt, she says, I must see Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. And if I could just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Wow. Picture this lady, weak and anemic from 12 years of hemorrhaging. So I picture her as a little, honestly, I kind of picture her like my wife. Just a frail, fragile individual. And this lady has done all she could do to be well. But she knows there's somebody that if she just got to him. So the Bible says with determination, she makes her way to Jesus. He's coming to town. She goes. And I want you to picture, the Bible says, and again, the narrative says that he's being thronged. So that means there's a lot of people around. So can you imagine this frail, weak lady pushing her way through the crowd with determination? When was the last time you pushed through anything to get to Jesus? See, we get so turned off so easy. We allow so many insignificant little things to keep us from Jesus. This lady says, my only hope is Jesus. And she determined and she set her gaze and she pushed through the crowd. And I love that story because she gets to Jesus and she touches his garment. And the Bible says, immediately she was made whole, healed. The Bible said the fountain of her blood stopped. It ceased. And I love this story. Jesus turns around, and you know the exchange. We read it, but Jesus looks at her, and the Bible says she tells him exactly what happened. And notice what Jesus says next. He says, daughter, think about the significance of that. He didn't say woman. He didn't say lady. He said daughter. See, when she got to Jesus, she got more than she was looking for. See, she was looking for a healing. See, a lot of people want to see the works of his hand, but you need to see his face. And so she pushed through, she grabbed hold and was healed, and he said, daughter, meaning there's a relationship now. She went there for healing, she found salvation. She's got new life in Christ. So he says to her, go in peace, your faith has made you whole, has made you well. Again, when was the last time you made an effort to get to Jesus? You're dealing with something right now. Maybe the doctor has said, you know what, you got a tumor. Maybe the doctor said you've got rheumatoid arthritis. Maybe the doctor said it's inoperable or it's terminal or whatever. When was the last time you pushed through to get to Jesus and lay that thing out? Remember Jehoshaphat? Remember when the Assyrians sent him a letter and said, hey, we're going to wipe you out, dude. And there's nothing that you can do about it. You know what he did? He took that letter and he went to the church. And he went down to the altar and he laid that thing on the altar. I mean, what else are you going to do? You outnumbered, outgunned. What are you going to do? He just took it and laid it before the Lord. And the Lord intervened and said, hey, by the way, the battle doesn't belong to you, but it belongs to me. That's what he told him. It's not your battle, it's my battle. See, again, we magnify the problem and minimize our God. When we should say, hey, I know what the diagnosis is, but have you seen my God? Have you read what he's done? Have you heard about him? Do you know that he's the way maker? Do you know that he's the miracle worker and the promise keeper and the light? Do you know him? See, that's what it's all about. I love, again, she was bound. When was the last time you made that effort to get to Jesus? I mean, so many people sit around and they're physically bound when the great physician is there to help them and do more than we can ask or imagine. I love what Isaiah says in Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Again, call me naive if you want to. I still believe in the healing Jesus. Listen, I believe in every one of us, there is innate in us a universal desire, an instinctive longing for miracles. We want to see them. We want to experience them in our lives. We want our loved ones to be touched by them. You know, one of the four cardinal doctrines of the church, or chief doctrines of the church, is healing. And it wouldn't take very long reading Scripture to find that the Bible even presents God as a healing God. That's fundamental to the Old Testament and New Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, the Bible declares that God is Jehovah Rapha. What is that? It means the God who heals. But you know what? It doesn't stop there. It's not just an Old Testament doctrine. It's woven in the fabric of the New Testament. I've already read Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where Jesus publicly declares that he came to set the captive free and to liberate those that are being bound. But how about this one? Matthew 8. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Jesus, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. How about this one? Matthew chapter 14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. I mean, that's just a small sampling. We could go many, many scriptures that talk about that Jesus is our healer, that he still heals today. If you're bound physically this morning, again, there's a healer in the house today. Why do we believe in that? Why do I believe in healing? Well, let me give you a couple things. Number one, the life and ministry of Christ, the witness of Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 14, Jesus said, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well." He said, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father's in me," or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. In other words, let what I do validate what I say. I'm talking about, again, the Messiah of Isaiah 61 said, here's the earmarks of the Messiah. This is what he came to do. He said, look, believe the evidence. Believe what you see. I mean, think about Mark's gospel. If you've not read Mark's gospel in a while, go back and read it. What a powerful book. Because just in Mark's gospel, we find Jesus healing and delivering all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus delivered a demon-possessed man. He healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. He healed multitudes of various diseases, delivered many from demons, and cleansed a leper. That's just in chapter 1. Chapter 2, he healed a man with palsy. Chapter 3, he healed a man with a withered hand in the middle of a church service. He healed multitudes again. Mark chapter 5, he delivered a man who was demon-possessed. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He healed a woman who, again, in our text, who had hemorrhaged for 12 years. In Mark chapter 6, he healed a few sick folk. What the Bible says, he healed a few sick. Wouldn't that be great? Just a few. But then it goes on and said he healed many again. Mark chapter 7, he delivered a girl of demons, healed a deaf and dumb man. Mark chapter 8, he opened the eyes of a blind man. In Mark chapter 10, he healed blind Bartimaeus. Again, that's just Mark. I mean, this is just a sampling. In fact, John said, if everything that Jesus did were written down, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the volumes of all that he did. This is just a sampling to let you know that we serve a healing Jesus. What a healing Jesus that we serve. Cleansing the 10 lepers. And it doesn't include that. Cleansing the 10 lepers. Raising Lazarus from the dead. Restoring of sight to the man who had been born blind. Reattaching Malchus's ear after Peter lopped it off in the Garden of Gethsemane. 41 distinctive instances of physical and mental healing are recorded in the four Gospels. And so many more that we find there. See, the truth is, the attention that we find in Scripture given to healing is far greater, that one subject, far greater than any other kind of experience. Jesus was and is our healer. I love what Psalm 31:21, how it's rendered in the Jerusalem Bible. It states in part this: God performs marvels of love. Isn't that good? God performs marvels of love. This is what he did for the sick and oppressed then, and it's what he does today. He still heals. Number two, the work on the cross. Why do I believe in healing? The work on the cross. Isaiah 53 says that he took upon himself our pains, our afflictions, our sickness, our diseases. He took upon himself all of that. And he bore them in our place. Sin and sickness are joined as twin giants to destroy us, but salvation and healing are joined power to set us free. The new covenant, we have healing in the name of Jesus. We're told to pray. In fact, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 103. You've heard, you've been here, you know. I love Psalm 103. says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Well, what are those benefits? Well, he forgives all your iniquities. Amen. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't know about you, but I like my benefit package with him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not all of his benefits. See, again, when we maximize our problem and minimize our God, we're forgetting our benefits. We're forgetting what we have. James tells us in his writing, in his letter, that if there's any sick, remember what he said to do? He said, call for the elders. Anoint with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. And here's his implication. He says that he will be made. I love the Message paraphrase. Here's what he says, James 5:16 in the Message paraphrase. Believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you on your feet. Isn't that good? Jesus will put you on your feet. I kind of picture, I don't know, this is just what, this is my life, okay? So this is my, I kind of picture my wife, and I, you know, having to transfer her and move her around, I will go and pick her up, and I'll set her on her feet. I kind of picture that's what he does to us. We're sick, we're infirmed, we're weak, we're anemic. Life has been sucked out of us. And he says, believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will pick you up and put you back on your feet. Why? Because he, pardon my grammar, I know it's not correct, but I'll say it anyway. He ain't done with you. What does that song say? If I'm not dead, he's not done. If I'm not dead, he's not done. That's what he says. Listen, Andrew Murray said it like this in his book on divine healing. He said, the pardon of sin and the healing of sickness complete one another. I have no problem believing that if a sinner confessed his sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive. But a lot of us have a problem believing that the same prayer of faith that saves us will heal us. But Andrew Murray says it complements one another, it completes the picture. That healing is part of the New Testament, New Covenant. Another reason I believe in healing is because of his name. His name. You know, the names of God are very important. I've always said this. I've read, some of you might be Warren Wiersbe fans. Warren Wiersbe had a series of books called The Bee Books. And in those books, he always said this, that every name that he bears is a blessing that he shares. And he's got books that talk about the various names of how God is revealed in Scripture. In fact, think about the name of Jesus. What does the name Jesus mean? It means God saves. God saves. So when Jesus came, Jesus wasn't the choice of Joseph and Mary. In the early service, I said Moses and Mary. It wasn't the choice of Joseph and Mary. Because when Jesus was born, he came with his name intact. The angel said, you shall call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. His name helped identify who he was and what he came to do. One of the greatest named covenant names that we find in the Old Testament of God is Jehovah Rapha, found in Exodus 15:26. He spoke to Moses and he said, I am the Lord who heals you. It's a covenant name, and it's still part of our covenant today. I am the God, I am the Lord who heals you. Again, that name helps us to know who he is and what he came to do. We know that he's love. We know that he's eternal. We know that he's all wise. But 4,000 years ago, God revealed Jehovah Rapha to Moses. He is a God who heals, and he's never changed. I can't spell it, but I can say it. The word immutable means he's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I could rely on him then, I can rely on him now. If he healed then, he can heal today. He does not change, James says. With him, there is no variableness nor shadow of turning with him. Amen. Aren't you glad that in life there is something that is constant? I was talking earlier. How many of you wish that you kept your clothes from the 70s and 80s? And your Aqua hair products, Aquanet. Some of you that are way past my, way younger than me won't know what I'm talking about, but things come and go. Fashions come and go. What's vogue today won't be vogue tomorrow. Not so with Him. Amen. Not so with Him. He's constant. He's the same God. He's the one who split the sea. He can split the issues of your life. He can make a way where there is no way. Listen, God is still healing today. He's still healing people. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I'm so sick. Well, He's still a healer. He's health. He's strength. He's sufficient. Whatever we need. And lastly, I believe in healing because of church history. Church history. You go back and read church history, and you can see they believed and they taught in divine healing. It's not a new phenomenon that came out when the Word of Faith movement back in the 40s and 50s. Wasn't anything like that. Long before that ever came, long before Azusa Street, long before any of the movements of God happened throughout history, people were being healed by Jesus. In fact, around AD 210, Tertullian reported in history several healings that had been taking place in the church. Origen, who was martyred around AD 523, wrote, here's what he said. He said, talking about Christians, he said, they expel evil spirits and perform many cures. We too have seen many persons freed from grievous calamities and distractions of mind and madness and countless other ills. What is he saying? He said, hey, there's healing taking place. There's something going on in 424, the classic City of God by Augustine. Here's what he wrote. I quote, he said, once I realized how many miracles were occurring in our own day, in which we were so like the miracles of old, and also how wrong it would be to allow the memory of these marvels of divine power to perish from among our people. It's only been 2 years, is what he said, 2 years ago, that we started keeping records. Only 2 years we started keeping records of what was happening in Hippo, and already as of this writing, we've seen nearly 70 attested miracles. Again, not just a fly-by-night thing. This is something woven throughout church history. In 1545, right before he died, Martin Luther wrote an instruction manual on conducting a healing service based on the letter of James. And here's what he said. This is what we do and that we have been accustomed to do. For a cabinet maker here was similarly afflicted with madness, and we cured him by prayer in Christ's name. End quote. Again, all through church history, from the time that Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, he said, but tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. That's what he said. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the world. And then it was from there that the gospel message went out, accompanied by signs and wonders and miracles. Why do you think people were running through town saying, these men who turned the world upside down have come hitherto also? Because God was confirming His word with signs and wonders and miracles that was happening all the time. When did we stop believing that? When did we stop relying on that? Healing has been a greater or lesser part of the church all through the church age. Why did we stop believing it? I don't know why, because we have 24-hour drugstores with aspirin and all type. Please don't read 20 lines. I'm not mocking or knocking. But why have faith if I've got an Advil? Please, if you're tuned in, I'm not minimizing medicines. I thank God for the wisdom. My wife takes 150 pills. She doesn't take that many, but I mean, it just, you know, my wife takes medicine every day, morning and night. I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying it's become easier to trust in something than in someone. And I think we got to get back to the healer and pray. When was the last time, like this lady, you pushed through? See, guys, come on back. I'm going to wrap this up. This lady in our text was bound physically. And she had all of these accompanying issues that bondage brings. Again, if you have a malady that sidelines you from life, that keeps you from intimacy with your fellow man, you can relate to this lady. You know the anxiety, you know the frustration, you know the depression, you know all of the stuff that she's dealing with. And maybe that's where you are this morning. You feel the same thing. You're frustrated because you have no answers. You go to this doctor, and they send you to this doctor, and you go to this doctor, and you go to that doctor, and you get worse instead of better, and you know this lady. So she had all of these issues, physically, emotionally, mentally. know, all this stuff going on. She was depressed, she was anxious, she was afraid, she was lonely, and she was desperate. But somebody started talking about Jesus. And she said, if I can just get to him, I know he can make things right. I just came to tell you this morning, if you can just get to him, he can make everything right. Do you mind if I share the story you sent me an email? Last Sunday morning, you know, we had our baptism service. And one of the families that their son was being baptized, she sent me a letter later on this in the week and said, you need to know that it was a pretty rough start. Anybody ever have rough Sunday morning starts? Isn't it amazing? Everything go like clockwork during the week, and then Sunday come around, and boy, it just seemed like everything. The dog's not listening. The husband's not listening. The kids aren't listening. Some of you ladies. So it wasn't a good start to the day, and she wrote me a note this week, and she said, you know, and the temptation was not to even come because it was so tense, so frustrating. He had suffered, woke up with a major, major headache to the point where even driving to church, there was a temptation to turn around and go back home because it was such an excruciating, if you've had a headache like that, you understand what I'm talking about, just excruciating headache. Before I shared my little why baptism devotional thing before we baptized last week, I was praying. And in the middle of that prayer, and again, this has nothing to do with me, please don't read between that, because I'm not saying that at all, but right in the middle of the prayer, the Lord just dropped it in my heart, and I said something about headaches. For God to heal the headache that has been so intense and so debilitating. She wrote me a letter and said, when you said that, immediately his headache left. And he hadn't had a problem with it. He went through baptism, and amen. And what I'm saying is, we celebrate isolated stories, but he's doing things all the time. All the time. This lady understood that if I could just get to Jesus. You know, I love the answer. The letter or the note said, you know, we just knew we had to get there. We just had to be there. I'm saying that's the determination I'm talking about. What are you holding on to? What is that issue that you're dealing with? Maybe this week the doctor has told you something that has literally sucked the wind out of your sail. Well, have you determined to get to Jesus? Again, we're talking about physical maladies, but again, what about relationships? Are you ready to toss in the towel? Are you ready to nail the coffin shut? Are you ready to pull up, I'm going to say it, your big boy pants and your big girl pants and get after it and start fighting together for the good? I mean, okay. Because God can do something. He never stops working. That's what he does. This lady was depressed, anxious, afraid, lonely, and desperate. She determined to get to Jesus, and he healed her. And so I'm just saying this. I'm closing, I promise. If you're here this morning, you need physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. You know what? Push your way to Jesus. Push your way to Jesus, because he's the only one that can make a difference. There's a healer in the house today who says, I'll heal you if you'll just come to me. Won't you stand with me this morning? What are you planning to sing? I was going to say that. I want us to sing that song, Waymaker, again. Because again, I want to remind you, that is who he is. That is who he is. And what I'm going to ask this morning, if you're here this morning, and listen, I'm not going to beg anybody. The days of begging are long gone, because my begging you to do anything doesn't accomplish nothing. Pardon that grammar too. I love what one preacher said one time. We ought to erect a 10-foot fence with concertina wire on top and dare anybody to get over it. He's talking about the desperation of Jesus. We made it so easy peasy today that it doesn't cost us anything. Are we willing to push through the pain, push through the frustration, the mental anguish to get to Jesus? And say, Lord, if I can just get to you, I know it'll be all right. If I can just hand it to you, I know it'll be all right. What about spiritually? Have you grown stale? Have you grown stale in your walk with the Lord? There's no fire. There's no zeal. Well, touch him. and watch what happens. So I'm just going to do this. Again, if you're comfortable, I know today, I just kind of threw everything out the window. If you need healing today, if you want a miracle from God, when we start singing Waymaker, I want you to come. I want you to line up across the front here. Listen, I truly believe the Scriptures tell us what we ought to do, and we're going to do it this morning. Because I believe in healing. There are people that are bound physically that have no reason to be bound when there's a healer who can heal. So as they sing, would you come this morning? I want you to come and lay that diagnosis, if you will. Pretend like you're Jehoshaphat, taking the diagnosis and say, here it is, Lord. They say it's inoperable. They say it's migraines. They say it's rheumatoid arthritis. They say it's a tumor. It's cancer. It's heart disease. Take that and lay it and say, Lord, here it is. I'm telling it what it is. I'm telling it how big you are. That's who you are. Go ahead and sing. And we're going to pray for you this morning.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you.
You need that miracle. Come on.
You are here.
Yes, Lord, you're here.
Working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
We continue singing. So if you're here this morning, would you come? Would you stand behind? And we're just going to pray. I want you to pray healing prayers. Quote the Scripture. Call out to God. Listen, God's more than enough, church. He's more than enough.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. What he meant was, Lord, my situation hasn't changed. Listen, I know that God can instantly deliver you and heal you and provide for you and do all that, whatever you need this morning. But what I'm saying is, if not today, will you still believe? If not instantaneously, will you still believe when you walk out that door? See, that's the difference there. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're our healer today. May we be reminded again and again and again and again that you're our healer, that there's no need that's so big, there's no sickness and so disease is so grievous that you can't do something about it. Lord, this morning I speak, Lord, to those lungs that they would be opened, Lord, to those joints that have been inflamed with rheumatoid arthritis, I speak that they would be healed. Lord, I pray this morning for tumors that they would shrink. Malignancies, Lord, would be healed and reversed. Benign tumors would shrink and disappear. Lord, I pray for kidney disease. I pray for liver function. Lord, I pray for diabetes this morning. I pray, Father, for Lord, I pray for eyes and I pray for ears. Lord, I pray for the nasal passage this morning. Lord, I pray healing in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you're not bound by natural law. Lord, I thank you that you in a moment can just step in and that you can bring healing, Lord. I pray for these that have responded and those that are online this morning. Lord, I pray that healing would be found today as we trust you and believe you this morning. Lord, we lay out the diagnosis. Lord, we lay out that bill. We lay out that disease, that sickness, that issue. And Lord, we hear you say, speak who I am. Tell it. Remind it who I am. Lord, remind it that you're the way maker. Lord, I pray when doubt comes in that we remind doubt that you're the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. Lord, I pray when situations don't change instantly that we're reminding that you are the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. Lord, may we always maximize you and minimize it. And I pray, Father, we walk out of here with that determination today that no matter where we find ourselves, Lord, maybe the diagnosis has just come in and it's not good. But Father, may we walk out of here faith elevated and let faith rise up to dare to believe that with you all things are possible. Lord, we speak healing in the house and those that are tuned in. Lord, heal them in the name of Jesus. Not anything that man does. This is all the activity of the Holy Spirit. Father, let it happen today. Let faith rise up to believe. May we latch on. May we determine like this lady. May we become desperate enough that we press. We press in to touch you. We press in to find you. Lord, may we not be swayed, Lord, by the distractions around us. Lord, may we just say like this lady, I must get to Jesus. And may we do so. Father, I thank you for the miracles that are happening now. Lord, we're going to claim it in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for healings. Thank you for deliverances. Lord, thank you for working on those issues today. Lord, we trust you to bring it to completion because you who began a good work will be faithful. Now, Lord, give us a wonderful afternoon, Lord, and may we walk out rejoicing in your faithfulness and, Lord, in the fact that you're our healer. Lord, give us a great day today, I pray in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen, amen. Thank you for joining us. I look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you. I love you.
You